Gracious God, we hear a voice crying to us. That voice sometimes sounds far away. Sometimes it's a still small voice inside our hearts. But we know, Lord, that that voice is you, calling us to come and see, calling us to hear your word, calling us to come home. Lean our ears towards you today, that we might hear your voice and be comforted. Amen. No one ever made a difference by being like everyone else. Do you know who said this line? It was P.T. Barnum, at least according to the new movie, The Greatest Showman. Barnum, of course, made a difference by creating a new form of entertainment. And he did it by capitalizing on people who most definitely weren't like everyone else. The bearded lady, the sword swallower, the contortionist. In their everyday lives, they were freaks. But P.T. Barnum took a little marketing genius and a whole lot of risk and turned them into showstoppers. And his rallying cry encouraged them to embrace their uniqueness. Not only embrace it, but put it out there for the whole world to see. P.T. Barnum and John the Baptist may have had something in common there. John was a bit of a freak himself. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels, we learn of John's more, shall we say, unusual characteristics. He wore rough clothes. He ate weird foods. He bellowed at the people with language so incendiary, it makes you wonder if he even wanted them to listen. In the first three Gospels, John's mission is to get people's attention as he calls them to repent. John is a showman in his own right. But in the fourth gospel, we encounter a different John. Here, his primary aim is not repentance, but to point to Jesus. Even John's first words invoke Christ. "I am not the Messiah," he tells the religious authorities who have come to see John's show for themselves. That "I am not" sets up a refrain that runs through the Gospels, Jesus saying of, "I am." So what is it about John that makes him such a powerful witness? Perhaps because his message is so clear. John doesn't mince words. "The one you have been waiting for is here," he says. "You do not yet know him, but watch. He is coming. He is here." And John's language is evocative. When Jesus does show up on the scene, John doesn't just say, "There's your guy." Instead, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This phrase makes a direct connection between Jesus and the Passover, which for Jews was the defining salvific act of God. Passover, writes Caroline Lewis of Luther Seminary, Passover signifies protection, lineage, deliverance, and God's promise of relationship. This is no small title. John knows what's at stake, and that is why he is so intent on calling others to come and see Jesus. John's singular focus reminds us that pointing to Jesus is the heart of discipleship. Telling others about Christ is our primary job. We call it testimony. It's testimony when someone describes how her heart was transformed by an unexpected moment of grace. It's testimony when we see an extravagant act of generosity. And when we tell these stories, they change lives. They inspire action, and they can lead to change. After the 2016 ELCA Churchwide Assembly, Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton asked an important question in her column in Living Lutheran magazine. She said, "How will people know? How will people know? How will they know about what our church is doing to move into the future?" she wrote. "How will they know what unites us in mission?" She urged us to be bold in sharing what God is up to in our world, in our lives, in our church, because the future of the church depends on it. So can testimony really make a difference? Just look at the tsunami of witness that came through the Me Too movement this fall. The pervasive sin of sexual harassment has affected countless people over the years, and most, but certainly not all, have been women who have borne the indignity and shame of harassment in silence. And yet, as Me Too spread across social media, it gave voice to the victims. Each post tore off a little more of the veil of secrecy and replaced it with solidarity and support. Thanks to the witness of those brave enough to say, "Me too," and those compassionate enough to listen, the landscape has started to shift. Does it mean going forward society will no longer tolerate behavior that demeans and puts down? We'll have to wait and see. But right now, that testimony has made a difference. Our country feels different, and that's a step in the right direction. One of the primary themes of John's gospel is that our world, our lives matter deeply to God. That is why the Word became flesh. Christ was born a human to take away the sin of the world. And that sin in John's gospel isn't a list of wrongs or moral failings. It's the very state of being separated from God. The author is abundantly clear. Jesus, the Lamb of God, makes it possible for us to have that relationship with God restored. Not in some far-off future, but right now, today. And isn't that something worth talking about? Now please hear me. There are plenty of ways that separation from God remains painfully, abundantly clear. We are still broken people. We make mistakes, and we turn away from God, and we leave lots and lots of messes in our wake. But that is exactly why we need to speak up. Not because we have everything figured out, but because Jesus promises to walk with us, even in our mess, and that just might give us the strength to keep moving forward. The strength to offer our testimony and take action when we see it needed. My friend Chris and his family were in Texas visiting his mother for Christmas last week. His mother lives near Galveston, not too far from the beach. And on Thursday afternoon, Chris went out for a long jog by the sea. As he ran, he became more and more distracted by the trash that he saw strewn across the sand. Trash that had washed up from the water or been carelessly left behind. As he was running, pretty soon that was all he could notice. And he became so overwhelmed, he just couldn't keep going. Instead, he turned around and began to walk back, picking up plastic bottles with handles that he could string through a long piece of rope that he found. One bottle, two, three, ten. But even as the rope began to fill with tossed away empty bottles, it barely seemed to make a difference. Chris said he started to feel like a crazy man. There was just so much garbage and so many people who just didn't care. And he was picking up the most minuscule amount of it. It would have been so easy for him to put down that rope and get back to his run. But instead, Chris made a commitment. This year, he decided, this year his aim is to do whatever he can for good. Now, it may be completely symbolic. It may make no discernible impact. But, he said, I am going to take every step I can to make a change for good for the world I believe in and the world I want for us all. So Chris kept walking and kept picking up bottles. And then he posted his story on Facebook as a way to testify to the power we each have to make a difference. I hope Chris makes it a habit to post updates on the ways he's making a difference this year. Because I know I need to read those stories. I need to be reminded that I, too, can do whatever I can for good. That my words and actions matter, That my story, that our stories are what inspire others and stir up the spirit and point to Jesus. John the Baptist would be the first to say that witness matters. For one family watching a middle-aged man picking up plastic bottles on the beach, it might be what inspires them to clean up their own neighborhood. For one woman living with the shame and stress of sexual harassment, it might be what empowers her to speak up and say, "Me too." For a people desperate for a Messiah to save them, it might be what points them to the light that will overcome the darkness. Friends, what if this year you set out to make one intentional act of witness every day? That in some way, some small way through your words or actions, you give testimony to the way God has been at work in your life. Your acts of witness don't have to be large. They don't have to be permanent. They just have to be. That's because it's not up to you to change the world. That's God's job. All you have to do is point to Jesus. And you can do that when you care for the world God has made. You can do that when you can listen without judgment. You can do that when you go the extra mile in your giving. You can do that when you love all people, all of them, and treat them with dignity and compassion and care. "The one you have been waiting for is here," John the Baptist declared. Friends, didn't we just celebrate that this past week? The miracle of Christmas, the unfathomable story of the incarnation, is that God has been made flesh and lives among us. And because God was made flesh, Christ's love lives among us still. We are not separated from his love, not now, not ever. And that is something that we can bear witness to. Amen.